Well, hello and welcome to this live English lesson. During this English lesson, as many of you know, you can ask me a question about the English language, or you can ask me a question about myself, about me, if you wanted to. I'm happy to answer most questions, although some of them are getting a little tricky, and I usually don't answer questions about really hard grammar concepts because I like to answer about one question per minute. I like to keep the lesson moving along. And when I try to answer a grammar question, I'm afraid either it will take 5 or 10 minutes or I'll say something wrong because some of the grammar rules are even challenging for me to remember. But anyways, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for hanging out for about an hour this morning. Let me check the audio. Excellent. Remember a couple of things before we do get started. If you are participating in the chat, please use the chat to have good, awesome English conversations with each other. Practice some of your greetings, practice some of your phrases. But if you have a question, please use the form to ask the question. It keeps things orderly. It helps me to kind of preview the questions before I answer them, and I'll do my best to answer them well. You're probably wondering what it's like outside. Well, it is actually quite fall-like outside, but also quite wintry. I know there isn't any snow on the ground, but it's -3 right now, and we might get a little bit of snow this afternoon. The puddles are frozen, but the river is not. Anyways, let's get to our first question. There's usually a question ready to go. Let me get my question form on the screen. And we'll go with Mike's question. Here we go. Mike says, "Hi, Bob. Could you define these? The jig is up, a skeleton in your closet, and an entourage." So the jig is up is an older phrase that I sometimes hear on a police show, like a TV show, where someone's committing a crime regularly. And then when the police catch them, they say, "Hey, the jig is up," which means that whatever they're doing whatever they're doing illegally has now ended. A skeleton in your closet simply means something from your past that's usually bad that no one knows about. Okay. So sometimes when someone wants to be a politician, when they want to be a prime minister or president, the journalists will find a few skeletons in their closets. Things that they did in the past that weren't good. And an entourage is simply a group of people that hangs out with a famous person. When Ryan Reynolds goes out, he might have a few of his close friends and employees around him. And it's kind of like his entourage, people that hang out with him and people that are just helping him do his daily things. I don't think Ryan Reynolds actually has an entourage, but I'm sure Drake has an entourage. Hey, I forgot to say hi to people. I should normally do that. Hi to Gogisek, Claudia, Alex, Scarlett, Kaiseta, American English with this guy, Brent's in the house, Lolly Lolly, Julia Olise, Todd and Dave, of course, are here. I know Rod, the English teacher, is here. Freddie Wolf, bonjour. Let's see here. Mode Eggs is here. A lot of regulars and longtime members. Julia Olise is here as well. O Filosofo Mickey is here. So many familiar names. Good to see all of you. Thanks for hanging out and making the chat awesome. That's what you guys do. I don't make the chat awesome. You guys make the chat awesome. Let's see here. Next question is from Renata. "Good afternoon, Bob." It's still morning here, but it's going to be afternoon soon, but I'm sure it's afternoon where you are. "Which one sounds stronger to you? Abhor, hate, loathe." Thank you, sir. "Have a wonderful weekend. Sorry for not being a member. I wish I could. Peace." No problem. No requirement to be a member. Abhor, hate, or loathe. Well, I would say abhor is the more formal sounding, like "I abhor winter." Someone might say that. Hate is the most common, and loathe has an element of disgust to it sometimes. Like, I just loathe, you know, people who, I don't actually loathe anybody, so it's hard to come up with an example. Let's see here. "I loathe people who don't wear deodorant and don't take showers for days on end." There, we'll say that. I don't actually loathe people like that. But anyways, they mean the same, and it's simply a matter of choice. Hate is definitely the most common. CryptoPal. "Hello, Bob. Which genre of movies is the best for English learners? Well, it depends on your level. I would say any movie where you can read the book in your own language first, or read the book in English first and then go see the movie, is an excellent movie to see. I would say, yeah, it does certainly depend on your level, because if you're a beginner, you should watch movies that you are interested in. But if you're an advanced English speaker, you should watch movies you're interested in, but also movies you're not interested in. Because let's say you're an advanced English speaker, but you only watch romantic comedies. You only watch movies about people who fall in love and get married. If you're an advanced learner, you should also watch some science fiction movies to learn some new vocabulary. So I think it depends. If you are a beginner or intermediate, watch things you enjoy, and certainly watch things where you can read the book first. Let's see here. Yaroslav, morning, Teacher Bob. Please name any tips for preparation for IELTS. Could you please advise some useful techniques for speaking? Thanks a million. Take care. So I highly recommend two things when preparing to take an English test. Number one, make sure you have enough time between now and the test to do a lot of casual, regular studying, okay? So a lot of reading, writing, listening, and speaking. And the second thing, I would hire a tutor or someone who specializes in preparing you for that test. If you go on a website like Preply, there's a link below if you want to explore Preply. You can find English tutors, but you can also find English tutors who specialize in preparing you for that test. Having someone who has some knowledge about the test help you prepare is a really good idea. And you get some conversation practice as well. So that will help with your techniques for speaking. Let's see here. Ruslan. Hello, dear Teacher Bob. I know Matt Damon is your favorite actor. What about your favorite actress? Do you have one? I did. When I was younger, I really liked Winona Ryder. When I was in university, when I was in my early 20s, she was quite popular. And I think she ran into a little bit of trouble in life. I think she did some shoplifting or something. I'm not sure. Don't sue me, Winona Ryder. I don't currently have a favorite actress, but she definitely was one of my favorites. But I heard, did she just get married? Let me just check that. Winona Ryder married. Let's check if that's true. Perhaps Keanu Reeves and her are married. Perhaps. I don't know. This is not a news channel, so don't quote me on that. That would definitely be someone who was my favorite actress. Sorry, I'm just reading the next question to make sure it's appropriate. I'm going to skip it because, Holly Molly, one of the phrases you put in there is actually considered a little bit racist now. Okay, so I'm going to skip your question, Holly Molly. Your second phrase is actually considered a little bit racist, so just so you know. Hi, Bob. Secrets to be successful on YouTube. Well, I teach business class, and I'll tell you the secrets, some of the secrets to be successful at business, okay? So let's talk about that. One of the ways to be successful at business is to be consistent. Jen and I sell flowers at a farmer's market, and we go every week. We do not ever take a week off. Market is 25 weeks long. We go for 25 weeks. If Jen's sick, I go. So that's number one, consistency. Number two is you have to create a product that's appealing to people. So we make bouquets that are beautiful, and we put them at eye level so people are attracted to them. So if we think about YouTube, the same things apply. If you want to be successful at YouTube, you need to be consistent. If you're going to make one video a week and you tell everyone you're making one video a week, you need to keep doing that. Number two, you have to have nice thumbnails, and the videos you make need to be interesting. So really, those are the two things I would say. There's a lot more, but I would say those two are very, very important. Claudia. Hi, Teacher Bob. Today, I have a specific question about been and gone. Is it correct to use gone with the first person? For example, I've gone to Rome if I'm in that city now. So if you're in the city now, You can't say, I've gone to Rome. Oh, you could actually, though. If you were on the phone and someone said, where are you? You could say, I've gone to Rome. I wanted to hang out in Italy for a little while. So that's a very unique situation, though. Normally, you would say that when you are not there anymore and you have been there in the past. Like, have you been to Rome? Yes, I've been to Rome. Have you gone to Rome? Yes, I've gone to Rome. So there's a small little example where you could use it, but generally you would not use it if you were there. Let's see here. Sorry. Kurdish. Hi, Bob. Miss you. I appreciate the star in the spelling of the second last word. What's different between international law and national law? So international law would be laws that countries have all agreed to. So Canada and the United States and France and have agreed that there's certain laws that are international laws. They apply no matter what country you're in. National laws only work in the country you are in. So Canada has national laws. Come back and go back. And can you pronounce focus correctly? Let me talk about come back and go back. If you have visited Canada in the past, I could say, and I'm in Canada, I could say to you, hey, are you going to come back to Canada someday? So are you going to take another trip someday and come back to Canada? If we were both in Paris and you had been to Canada, I could say, are you going to go back to Canada someday? So a little difference. And then can you pronounce focus correctly? Because I see lots of sound like the F word, I'm going to call it. So focus. The camera needs to focus on my face. It actually puts a little box on my eye. And then that's how it focuses. One week it was focused on the camera, on the microphone. That wasn't good. Yeah, I do want to say hi to the 313 people watching. I've noticed since time has changed, there's a few less people when I look at live streams through the winter versus through the summer. Somehow when I do the live stream after time change, there's usually a few less people. But hey, thanks for being here. If you're new, why don't you think about clicking that red subscribe button? Let's see here. What does it mean, elicit? When you try to elicit a response, we often use it with the word response. You know, as a teacher, I try to elicit a response from my class. I'll ask a question and I'll say, I'll give some hints or I'll give some suggestions or I'll give some clues to the answer. I'm trying to elicit a response. Let's look up the official meaning of elicit. Let's see, to call forth or draw out, usually something such as information or a response. So he made comments and gave hints in order to elicit a response. There you go. Not to be confused with elicit with an I, which means something that's illegal. Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse you, but there are two very similar words. Elicit, forbidden by law. So that's I-L-L-I-C-I-T. Maybe somebody can spell that in the chat, elicit. Let's get to the next question. Devanch, hello, sir. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. I hope you are as well. Do your children and wife also speak French? No, pas du tout. C'est juste moi qui parle français ici. It's just me. Jen knows a little bit of French from school. All of my kids took French in school for about 40 minutes a week for 7 or 8 years. So they know colors and they know how to count and they know some simple phrases. But studying a language for about 20 or 40 minutes a week, even for 6 or 7 years, you don't learn a whole lot. They know some songs and things like that. But certainly, I can't have a French conversation with Jen or my kids. Let's see here. Let's go with this. So no, we would not use that word anymore. It's kind of a strange word. To be not restrained, yes. Hi, Bob. I've just finished watching the film called Unchastened Woman from 1925, Would you use this adjective today? And how do you like silent movies? We wouldn't use it. It's old. That's an old word. It's certainly not well used. And do I like silent movies? I don't actually. I think I like silent movies that are funny, like kind of what you call slapstick comedy. But no, not really. Should I answer this one? I'll answer this one. This is so rare that I have to answer it. This is from I Hate You, and the comment is I hate you. So I actually don't believe this. This is obviously a person that doesn't know me. But first of all, a couple of things. You notice they use the word you at the end of the sentence. Sometimes when we're texting or doing things quickly, instead of typing Y-O-U, we use the letter U. So I hate you. You can also use the letter 8 with the H. So you could do like I-H-8-U. Don't ever do this. This is not considered polite at all. But certainly someone has left a comment. Maybe I'll have to dig in and see what IP address this came from and track it down. I'm not going to do that. But hey, everyone is allowed to have their opinion. But that one was certainly a little too harsh for my liking. From India. How to pronounce GIF or GIF? I don't know. I say GIF. I don't say GIF. By the way, a GIF or GIF is a small image on the internet. We have JPEGs, PNG files, and GIFs or GIFs. Sometimes the GIFs are animated. You have an animated GIF or an animated GIF. Let me see here. Let's look up how to pronounce GIF. So let's see here. GIF. That's what it says. That it's supposed to be GIF. But I say GIF or GIF. I think I say GIF. I think that's what I say most often. Let's see here. Mickey has the next question. Hey, Mr. Bob. I was watching a video this week and the guy said the phrase hands down. Could you say a sentence using this phrasal verb? Thanks in advance. You could say, well, that team won hands down, or he won that race hands down, or hands down, he's the clear winner. Let's get a good description of this. Meaning of hands down. To do something and to win easily and decisively. The example, she won the competition hands down. There you go. Let's get to this. I like all the comments in the chat. Nobody hates you, Bob. I hate misunderstanding you. Where does Bob see the questions? Oh, good. Yeah, they go through a form. They show up in a spreadsheet, and then I can pull the questions out from there. Well, let's see. From Sala. Hello, Bob. It's nice to see you. I want to know what's better, memorizing a phrase or a single word? Well, both, but memorizing words in phrases can be very, very helpful. Because let's picture this. You're trying to learn the color red and the color orange and the color yellow. If you just try to learn the word, you might have a good chance of learning it. But if you think the red van, the orange is also the name for fruit, or the yellow sun, when you can say it as a phrase and picture it, it can sometimes be easier to remember. Let's see. Unsel. Hi, Teacher Bob. How are you doing? You use your body language very effectively, as I observe. Have you ever got any training about this? Thank you for all your gorgeous lessons. No, I have not had any training on how to use body language. I think it must come from my memory is that when my dad talked to people, he always used his hands and he was quite expressive. So he would lean in to say things. He would back off. He would smile. And so I think the way I talk is very similar to how I saw my dad talking when I was a kid. But no, I have had no special training other than I've been talking to students for over 20, almost 25 years now. Sometimes you need to use a bit of body language in order to get across what you need to. This is from Colorful Mode. By the way, thanks Mode for reminding me. Yesterday we did a lesson on color. It was a more advanced lesson than just the colors. We learned things like the visible spectrum and rainbow and prism and color palette. So if you're interested in watching that, it is still available, and a shorter version will come out tomorrow with really good English subtitles. Back to mode. Hello, ruddy-cheeked Mr. Bob. Could you please say last year, this year, and next year? You connect the words with a little shish. Is this regional? Interesting, eh? I don't know. So last year, I do, don't I? Last year, this year, and next year. So I don't know if it's regional or Canadian. We'll have to ask Brent. I don't know when Brent's going live next, but I would be curious to hear how Brent says those. Because I certainly do add a bit of a shush to it, don't I? Last year, I did a lot of live streams. This year, I'm planning to do a lot of live streams. Next year, I'm planning to do it. It's not the microphone. It's definitely me. And that is how I say them. Great question, Moat, by the way. From Adam, we have, hello, my cutest teacher. What is the difference? We're going to switch the word a little bit. Difference between joking and joking around. They're similar. When you're joking, though, we sometimes use this when we like tell a little lie. Like if I say I won the lottery and then I say I'm joking. Okay. But if I do that a lot, if I'm making a lot of little, like I'm telling little lies or I'm telling actual jokes, the description of all that activity would be joking around. Like my brother is always joking around. He tells us things that aren't true to be funny. You know how people sometimes lie to be funny? It's probably not a good way to be funny, but it does happen, right? Where people jokingly tell you stuff. Let's see here. So from who we have, hi, Teacher Bob. I listened to a song named Dealer, and the lyrics are, we're just gonna remove the word said. The lyrics are, I don't want to give you nothing. Is it different from I don't want to give you anything? Thanks. So I don't want to give you nothing is kind of a double negative, but it still is the negative. Okay. The correct version should be I do not want to give you nothing. Sorry. I do want to give you nothing, or I don't want to give you anything. But in English, we often, you'll hear double negatives where people put the verb in the negative and then they'll use a word that's negative as well. So I don't want to give you nothing means that the person doesn't want to give them anything, even though it's a double negative. You'll hear that a lot. You know, do you want anything to eat? I don't want nothing. Technically, you should say, I don't want anything. Let's see here. Judith. Hi, Bob. How are you today? Can you tell me the meaning and usage of maitre d' and maitre d' hotel and their plural forms? I don't know. So a maitre d' is someone who assists you when you're at a hotel or assists you in a restaurant. I think it has a slightly different meaning. By the way, it is a French word, but we do use it in English. We don't say maitre d'. We only use maitre d'. We don't add hotel, by the way. The person in a restaurant or hotel who oversees some of the staff and typically handles reservations or conflicts. Interesting, the maitre d'. So we don't say maître d'hôtel. We don't say that in English. We just say maitre d'. And I apologize to all my French viewers. That's how we pronounce it. We say maitre d'. And if there were more than one, we would say maitre d's. There we go. That was a great question, Judith. Finally, an easy question. I wasn't stumped this week. Andre. Let's see here. Andre says, hello, Mr. Bob. Send me an email in order to read the instructions, or two, send me an email to read the instructions. Which one is correct? Thank you. Send me an email. I'm confused who's reading the instructions. So let's break this down. I could say, send me an email so that I can read the instructions, or send me an email so I'm able to read the instructions. I think that's what you're going for. If I read, send me an email in order to read the instructions, I would emphasize that I'm the one reading it. I would say, well, send me an email so that I can read the instructions, or send me an email so I'm able to read the instructions. Hopefully that worked, Andre. I'm not sure if I went the right way answering that question. No, I still haven't figured out how to keep my camera on. Let's see here. Ario. Hello, Mr. Bob. Question, would you like to watch English Time on a YouTube channel? You would like it. Check it if you want. I will check it out. I know you mentioned that yesterday, Aryo. English Time. I will check it out and see what it's like. Let's see. I'm not sure I'm going to understand this question, but I'm going to try really hard. Margo, hi teacher. What's the difference between it came in versus it turned out to be or it turned to be? Thanks. So let's look at those two things. It came in. When I order some, if I go to a store and they don't have what I want, they can order it for me and they will call me then and say, it came in. The mug just about spilled my water. What did my face look like? I just about knocked my mug off the table. That was a true Bob the Canadian reaction there, whatever my face did. They would call and say, hey, the mug you ordered, it came in. But I think you're missing the word out in the second phrase and it means something different. It turned out to be. I didn't want to go to the party. I thought it was going to be boring, but it turned out to be a lot of fun. So there you go. I want to rewind now and watch my face, but I'll watch that later. I was seriously worried that I was going to spill my mug and there's actually a TV right beside me. That would have been bad. Okay, let's see here. Angel. Hi, Bob. What's the meaning of you're missing some wallpaper? I've never used this phrase. I don't know if it has another meaning. I hope it doesn't have a weird meaning. Meaning of you're missing some wallpaper. Let's see here. I think it's a British term. I'm having trouble actually finding a definition for it. It just says, yeah, I'm just going to skip this one over. It is not a common phrase. I have never heard this phrase. So it might be British. It might be British English. But if I was to say it, it would mean that you have wallpaper on your wall and there's some missing. That's what that would mean. So here we go. River Cam is live. It's a little bit bright though, isn't it? Let me fix that for a sec. I like it when things are... Let's see. There we go. Let me just put the River Cam up for a sec while I have a sip of water. Some of you were commenting how surprised you were that all of the leaves were on the ground and how brown everything was starting to look. The grass in our lawn is brown, but the grass in the fields, the grass in our lawn is green, but in our fields, the grass is quite brown. From Claudia. Hi, Bob. Why do you say I am prone to getting colds and not I am prone to get colds? What is the rule? Thank you. Yeah, you can say the second one, first of all. I'm prone to get colds. But I think when you say the first one, so first of all, you can be cold or you can have a cold, right? Where your nose is stuffed up and you're coughing. And when you say the first one, I'm prone to getting colds, right away I understand that you're talking about sickness. When you say I'm prone to get colds, like, let me explain it a different way. If I say I'm prone to get cold, it means I get cold. If I say I'm prone to getting colds, it means the sickness. So if I say I am prone to get colds, my brain gets a little confused for a split second because I don't know which one you're talking about. So I'm going to say we've informally decided that if you're talking about the sickness, you say I'm prone to getting colds. And if you're talking about being cold, like the opposite of warm, we say I'm prone to get cold. And so we've probably just decided to keep them separate. Let's see here. Suha, what steps do I have to do? We're going to add another do. Sounds funny, but it's the way it works. What steps do I have to do if I want to migrate to Canada, please, or immigrate to Canada? So what I always recommend people do is go to Google and just type in how to immigrate to Canada. If you're interested in studying here, search for how to study in Canada. And lots of information will come up. Lots of information. Let's see here. What do I need to do next? I need to go to turn on members only chat because it's already 11:30. That was quick. So, hey, folks, we're going to do members only chat now. What that is people who have clicked the join button below or wherever it is, there's a join button, and have decided to actually give me a little bit of money each month as a thank you and to help me run this YouTube channel. This YouTube channel, I do get money from ads, but there are some costs associated with running it. So I am appreciative of all those who help pay my internet bill, help me buy new equipment, the lights, the camera, the computers, and all that kind of stuff. So thank you very much. One of the rewards for being a member is we do members only chat for about 10 minutes during every live lesson. And that time is now. So if you're a member, go ahead and ask a question in the chat. I will, of course, do a couple questions from the forum still while we wait for a few questions to show up. Fair says, hi, Bob. How to pronounce and use ricocheted? So it ricocheted. When you throw something and if it hits the wall and bounces off, you could say it ricocheted. And what does bide your time mean? It means you want to do something, but you're going to wait. Okay, until there is a better moment to do it. From the chat, we have Lolly saying, bonjour, Bob. Et moi, je vais dire bonjour à Lolly aussi. Mode Egg says, a follow-up question on the words expressing hatred. What about detest? And no, I'm not asking because I intend to say it to you. You know you have a special place in my heart. So detest, when you say detest and you're talking about a person, it's a very strong insult. Like, when you say, oh, I detest that guy, that's I think, stronger than hatred. Like, yeah, I'm going to say it's a bit stronger. But we do use the word detest a lot to talk about food. You know, oh, I detest apple pie. So in that sense, it's the same as hate. Brent says, how could anyone hate Bob the Canadian? Thanks for the super chat, Brent. And thanks for the kind words. I always look at it this way. Sometimes people click thumbs down. I think they took that away though. And sometimes people don't like other people and there's nothing you can really do about it. I know that many people appreciate these lessons. So no big deal if someone wants to express that they don't. Maybe it's hard for them to understand me. As much as I try to speak clearly, there may be a few people who are frustrated that they see all of us learning English together and maybe it's hard to understand and so they have negative emotions, possibly. I don't know. Let's see here. Freddie Wolf, hi Bob, no question today. However, I want to just say salut. I announce that it's there. The first snows came to France this morning, but everything has already melted in the afternoon. Wishes to you. That's cool. We haven't really had a snow. Snow has fallen, but it has melted as soon as it hits the ground. Cool that you got a little bit. Kaiseta, dear Bob, will you give some examples with the words concerns, please? So when you have concern, when you're concerned, so there's the verb form, like I am concerned about, like when my kids start to drive, I'm concerned that they'll drive too fast, right? I'm worried about it a little bit. So then I would say, I have concerns. So that means there's multiple things that I'm worried about. Rod, the Brazilian English teacher says, beautiful view. It is a nice view year round. And as I've mentioned before, I'm happy that I can share it with all of you. I know that all of you live in beautiful countries as well. But like I always say, either the lesson will be good or the view will be good. One of the two, sometimes both. Bernadette Servé, hello Bob, do you only use the word trash? Do you use the word rubbish or waste? So we use the word garbage in my part of Canada. So I throw it in the garbage, put it in the garbage can. I bring the garbage to the road. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I bet you Brent says trash. Brent from American English with this guy. When I lived in the United States, everyone said trash. But I think that's regional as well. We'll have to find out what Brent says. So I use the word garbage, the garbage truck. So I put garbage in the garbage can and I bring the garbage to the road and the garbage truck comes and gets the garbage. Zeev, dear teacher Bob, how is the, and then it ends. It's like a mystery question. How is the Let's see. How is the school year going? It's going great. There we go. Maria C., that mean message was a complete lie. Nobody could hate you, Bob. We all admire you. I think it was actually Nightbot. Secretly, Nightbot has decided to give its opinion in the forum. Let's see here. Julia Elise is saying, Brent Mode is saying, let's see. Excellent. I wish I could do that, but I don't want to give away some info. Oh, yes. Gotcha. You guys are having a conversation. Anuwat, hi, Teacher Bob. Have you ever done public speaking in person? If so, how do you feel? Is it different from speaking in a live lesson in YouTube? Thanks. When I need to speak in front of everyone at my school, I don't get very nervous. If I need to do a live lesson on YouTube, I don't get very nervous. I used to. I don't anymore. If I need to speak in front of a lot of people who I don't know, I get nervous. It's a little easier at school because, you know, there's a few hundred students, but I've taught most of them. So it's a little more familiar. Let's see here. Betty Lou, hi, the cutest Teacher Bob. What do you think is the most effective way to learn English idioms in stories, either by reading them and then immediately using them? Okay. I think that's one of the best ways. Audie the Thai, hi, Teacher Bob. Why the Canadian and Americans don't have Thanksgiving at the same time? Love and respect. So I flipped the in to at the same time. Prepositions are a pain, aren't they? First of all, I don't know why it's different. Second of all, I think the Americans celebrate it at the correct time. In Canada, we have Thanksgiving before we're done harvesting all of our crops. So as a farmer, sometimes it feels weird to have a day where you give thanks for everything that's happened, but you're not actually done all your work. My dad was quite commonly, my dad would say the same thing. He would say, the Americans got it right. Thanksgiving should be at the end of November. Let's see here. Lolly says, welcome to Ron. I should welcome Ron as well. Thanks, Ron, for becoming a member. Zeev says, dear Teacher Bob, how is the weather? So right now, it was -3 when I started, and it's -1 right now. So it's warming up a little bit, but it's overcast. It's not very sunny outside. You can kind of see that from the outdoor camera. It's kind of a gray day, an overcast day. Let's see here. Lost my place. Welcome, Ron. Maria C says, they do it to call others' attention, even though they are anonymous in general. Yeah, I think so. And then Mode is asking Betty how her English test went. And oh, Philosopho Mickey, Bob, I'd love to watch one video of you talking to someone else, like having a conversation. One thing I've realized is the more we get in context, the easier understanding turns out to be. Yes, you know, it is difficult to find people who want to go on camera, people who want to be in videos. It's not something everyone likes to do, but I will try to find someone at some point. Ron says, thanks, Lolly Lolly. And then Mode Eggs, is it to set the price of something or to set the price of something? The first one is correct. I don't want to say the second one because it's incorrect. I don't like to say incorrect phrases out loud because I don't want people to hear something that's incorrect. So definitely the first one, Mode, to set the price of something. He's going to set the price of bread this morning. Jen is selling Christmas wreaths today and she set the price of the wreath. Mode says, which one of these is correct? I'm on a break or I'm on break? Both in that situation. I can't help you right now. I'm on a break. I can't help you. I'm on break. Both totally acceptable. Let's see here. Rod says, keyboard warriors, Mr. Bob, we all know how awesome you are. Peace. Yes, you never know. Maybe I accidentally cut someone off when I was driving and they saw who I was and they thought, I'm going to go on his live stream tomorrow and express my opinion. Let's see. Zeev, how's the weather? Same as it was about 10 seconds ago. Maria C, great idea. Mode, question about prepositions or propositions? I think prepositions. You can be in a phone call, but on a Zoom call, right? Yes, definitely. So I was on a phone call the other day. I was in a phone call. Generally, I would say this, I was on the phone. So if I think about the most common way to describe it, yesterday I was on the phone, yesterday I was in a Zoom call. Those would be how I would say those two. Okay, yesterday I was on the phone, that's why I didn't come to your party, or yesterday I was in a Zoom meeting. Did you hear that? I was on a Zoom call, or I was in a Zoom meeting. As soon as I add the word meeting, I was in a Zoom meeting, I switch it to in. So I was on a Zoom call, but in a Zoom meeting. That's how I would do it. Strange. Zoom's relatively new, so we just use all the prepositions, I guess. Brent from American English with this guy. Well, at least the Americans got one thing right. That might be the only thing. Thanks, Brent. Betty Lou, I think my exam went pretty well, but I'm still waiting for the results. Oh, that's always a nerve-wracking time, isn't it, when you're waiting for results. Hey, I'm going to turn off members-only chat, but I am going to finish answering those questions. Just give me a sec here. We're going to go back to subscriber mode. Let me see here. I think I'm at Dulio. Hi, Teacher Bob. What do you prefer, hearing non-native English speakers speaking like natives, or do you like to hear them speaking? I like hearing a little bit of an accent. I'm someone who believes that accents are beautiful. You don't want to have an accent that's really bad and makes it hard for people to understand you, but I think you want to have a little bit of an accent. I think it sounds cool. Let's see here. Oh, my screen just scrolled up quickly. Where was I? Caicedo, we have the warmer weather. It is +1. We are lucky. Nice. Ron's message got retracted. I'm not sure why. Cecilia, hi, Bob. Your video about construction is great. Please make more videos about that topic. Thank you. I will try my best. As you know, on my Friday lessons, my goal isn't to create the most popular lessons, it's to do all the lessons. So you will see lessons on almost every topic. Let's see here. Betty Lou says, my comment is gone. Sometimes that happens. Estri, welcome and thank you for becoming a member. Lolly Lolly says, welcome as well. Ron, what is the difference between inspiring and awe-inspiring? Pretty much the same. But when someone does something that's inspiring, it can make you motivated to do the same. So maybe your cousin learned to speak English in 3 years really quickly. You would find that inspiring, and then maybe you would do the same. When something's awe-inspiring, though, it might be more like, you know, Ronaldo scores 7 goals in one game. That would be awe-inspiring. It doesn't mean you're going to go learn how to score that many goals, but you are just amazed. But you can use them the same, right? They both mean to be impressed. Philosopher Mickey, Bob, if you had to choose one country by continent to visit, what countries would you choose? I would go to France. Still France. I would love to go to France, and I would love to go to the Netherlands. And then Rod, I'm sure you're an excellent driver as well. I try my best. I have a country drive on the way home, so it's really easy. Mode is letting Betty Lou know that it's awesome that she did her test and hoping that the results come in satisfactory. And let's see here. I'm going to return to the questions from the forum. We're going to go for about another 15 minutes. Let's go to outside cam and I'll have a sip of water for a sec. Maria C. in the chat saying that Portugal or Italy are going to be out of the World Cup for 2022. We'll see. Not sure if Canada will be in or not. I think we're still trying to get in. Let's see here. Caicedo. Dear teacher, what does it mean at some point you just gotta dance? At some point, what is it? Thank you so much. Have a nice weekend. It just means at a point in time in the future, or even right now, you're just saying that, you know, at some point, you have to take an English test. At some point, you just got to dance. That would mean that you just have to enjoy life. At some point, you have to apologize. It just is a like a time in the future, but there's no precise day put to it. Let's see here. Kizmo, hi, Teacher Bob. I'd like to know what the most popular TV channel is in Canada. We have to add an is there. What the most popular TV channel is in Canada. Probably CBC, although we get a lot of American television as well. We get NBC and CBS and Fox and ABC. Did I say that already? But in Canada, CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is one of the most popular channels. And what is your favorite TV channel in North America? Thanks. That's a good one. I really like PBS, Public Broadcasting. They have a lot of shows, a lot of documentaries, which is my favorite type of show. And I also like TV5, which is a French channel, and I watch Journal de France 2 whenever I can. Let's see here. Why did you change? Says, can you show some examples of words like calm, discouraged, and hopeful? Like, do you want me to act them out? So this is calm. You know, when a person is calm, they don't respond quickly. They think for a bit. They're very, when they speak very quietly. They're just the opposite of excited. Discouraged. That's my discouraged face. When you're discouraged, it means you're no longer encouraged. Okay. You can be discouraged if maybe everyone forgets your birthday, and that's very discouraging. Maybe you wanted your team to win and they lost in the game last night. That's very discouraging. And then hopeful. That's my attempt at a hopeful face. When you're hopeful, it means that you're thinking in a positive way about something in the future. You know, I'm hopeful that the Toronto Raptors do well this season. I believe they'll do well. I want to believe that they'll do well. Hey, if you're one of the 412 people watching, don't forget to click that red subscribe button. I think it's right there somewhere right here. There's a red subscribe button. You should click it. You get notified when I put out a new video. There's even a bell you can click, apparently. Let's see here. Can't get meaning has the next question. Can you explain what calls to action means? Platform has interactive features on its videos that allow to add calls to action or email collection forms right in a video. A call to action is basically almost what I just did. When I say, hey, if you're new here, don't forget to click that red subscribe button. Whenever you prompt someone in a video or on a web page to do something, we call it a call to action. Maybe you're reading a website and it says, click here to sign up for a free English test. That phrase and button would be called a call to action. It's when you use, you know, language to encourage someone to do something. Let's see. Rama says, good afternoon, Bob. Some videos on your channel, we're going to switch that preposition, we can't watch if we're not members. What can we do to be members? A million thanks. So you can be a member if you click the join button below, but it's not available in every country in the world. It's available in over 100 countries. But if you don't see a join button, you can't. You can join and be a Patreon member. You don't get your name in green then, but you do get an extra video a week on Patreon. But generally, if there's no join button below, you can't join. Sorry about that. It's the join button's available in more countries every few months, but in some countries, it's not. Let's see here. Omar, hi, sir. I'm teaching English. I should make sure I pronounce words properly, right? Hi, sir. Could you tell us how to get prepared for an IELTS exam? Thanks. So at the beginning of the lesson, I said two things. Make sure you have lots of time, like a few months to get ready. And number two, hire a tutor using a website like Preply or Cambly or iTalki. Find someone who specializes in what's called IELTS prep. Or English, like the Cambridge English Assessment Prep or TOEFL Prep. Find someone who specializes in helping people get ready. The other thing you can do, which I didn't mention, is you could buy a study kit. If you go to Amazon or if you go to a bookstore, you can find a study kit to help you prepare for that. Try that as well. Lucas, what is the difference between TV series and TV shows when it comes to watching something on Netflix? So on Netflix, you can find a lot of different TV shows. You can find a lot of different TV series. A TV show is just a general term for any show that's on Netflix or TV. Even though it's on Netflix, we still call them TV shows. Like I was watching a TV show on Netflix the other day. You can say that in English. We have shortened it though to just show. I was watching a show. A series is more specific though. Like if you watch, I started watching Hawkeye last night, which is a new series on Disney Plus, I think, from Disney. So it's about the superhero Hawkeye. So a series is a name for a group of TV shows all about the same people. That's how I would say it. Let's see here. Ron from Japan says, hello, Bob. How's it going? Good, actually. I want to know, I was just thinking, my brain just went the wrong direction. Let me go back to the question. I want to know what the difference between why did you and what brought you? Do they have different meanings? So why did you do that? What brought you to do that? So the what brought you is not as common here in Canada. I think that might be a little more British. I'm just guessing though. Like why did you speed? What brought you to the point where you were speeding? Yeah. So I would use the first one more to ask a question. If I'm asking someone about something that they did do in the past, I would use the first one. Let's see here. Sylvia, hi, Bob. I'm always listening to you. We're going to add the ing. I'm always listening to you on my night shifts. Prepositions are a pain, aren't they? I'm always listening to you on my night shifts. It helps me a lot learning English. Thank you for that. I'm asking, though, what do you mean with the word though? Yeah, the word though is kind of weird. I need to do a whole lesson on this because we add the word though in the middle of sentences. Like I would answer it now, but I'm not sure I have enough time though, because even though you want an answer, I'm trying to make up sample sentences. It's not really working. So even though I would love to answer this now, it would take way too much time though. So that's a big question. I've tried to answer it in the past. I think I'm going to do a lesson on the word though at some point in the future. So sorry, Sylvia, for that somewhat bad, not very good answer. Mill Movies, hello, Bob. How much does agricultural land cost in your area? Okay, so I flipped that sentence around a bit. How much does agricultural land cost in your area? It's easy to buy land and make a farm. Is it easy to buy land and make a farm? It's quite expensive. It's about $10,000 Canadian for an acre. So that would be about, I think, $25,000 for a hectare. How are acres and hectares related? I got that wrong. So it's $10,000 for an acre. So that would be about $4,000 for a hectare, I think. Yes, I think I got that right now. Anyways, don't quote me on it. This is not a lesson on measurements, but I should do a lesson on measurements, shouldn't I? Let's see here. Srinidhi, hi, sir. I am studying in the 10th standard from India. What do you suggest for the upcoming English grammar exams? I'm not familiar with that test, but definitely find some review materials, some study materials from someone who knows more about the test. Someone who has either taken the test or maybe there is a study kit or even a preparatory course, a prep course that you can take. So sorry, I don't know a lot about that, but you would want to find specific information about that test. Natalia. Hello, Bob. Please pronounce the following words: discreetly, compromises, saturated. Can you use saturated in any example? Thanks. Yeah, when you take, like if I took my sweater and put it in a bucket of water, it would eventually be saturated. It would be like have water in all of it. Let's see here. A tea bag, when you put it in the tea, it gets saturated, right? It gets filled with water. So anyways, to pronounce those again: discreetly, compromises, and saturated. Notice compromises. It's a weird word, right? Because it looks like it has the word promise in it. and I've heard English learners say it incorrectly. So when you make a promise, it's pronounced promise, but when you compromise, it's pronounced compromise. It's kind of a weird word. By the way, a compromise is when if I want this and you want that and we agree in the middle, that's a compromise. So neither of us got what we wanted. We agreed to meet in the middle. There's another English phrase for you. Let's see. Anderson says, hello, Bob. How are you? How can I understand the word mean? I have watched in some video that it says mean girl, but for me, it's a meaning. Yeah, so mean has a couple meanings at least, right? So the word car means something you drive. An apple, if you're like, what is an apple? Well, apple, the word apple means a piece of fruit. But when you treat someone badly, you're being mean to them, okay? Sometimes when I was a kid, I was mean to my younger brother. Sometimes my older brother was mean to me. That means that we said unkind things to each other, or we treated each other badly sometimes. We all get along now though, by the way. But you know, kids, sometimes they fight. Let's see. So Cavish, hello, Bob. Can you clarify the meaning of two phrasal verbs, latch onto and cotton onto? Thank you for your clarification. The second one we don't use much, to take a cotton to, I think. It's very much an American word, not very common in Canada. I don't even know how to explain it. But we do use to latch on to. Sometimes maybe you go to a work party and someone from work, when you go to the party, someone from work who's new might latch on to you. That means they follow you around and hang out with you all night. That can happen sometimes. Sometimes when you go somewhere, someone might latch onto you so they have someone to talk to. Let's see. Rocio, please, Bob, help me with information and examples for the IELTS. I need to present this. So first of all, I have not taken an IELTS test, obviously. I have taken a language test for French too in my past. But I will do a lesson in the future about how to prepare for a test. And I think I will order some materials from Amazon to help with that. So look for that in the future. John says, how is the situation in Canada with the coronavirus? Well, things were getting better. So the graph was going down and now the graph of cases is going up. We have a very high vaccination rate, but right now we're very concerned in Canada about the Omicron variant that's just started to spread around the world. In fact, I think the news story today said, I think flights are canceled between Canada and some countries. So hopefully the vaccines work against it. I don't know. I'm very tired of this. Eduardo, I'm laughing at Eduardo's second question. Hi, Bob. Good morning. Hi, Eduardo. What do you mean when you have insomnia? It means that you're not able to sleep. Okay. So when you're not able to sleep, we often say you have insomnia. Maybe you go to bed at 10 and you wake up in the middle of the night. And then your second question, what does it mean to grow a pair? Well, without going into too much detail, it means to have more courage or to be more brave and to stop being afraid to do something. The word pair actually refers to a part of the male anatomy, and I'm not going to go into any more detail. If you do a search, Eduardo, about the history of that phrase, you'll figure it out. But it's a little off color for this live stream. But the phrase is used in English, even though it has kind of a weird background to it. Let's see here. Last question for the day from Krishna. I'm going to remove does. We're going to do native English speakers use incorrect grammar? Okay, so I've made a few switches there. Do native English speakers use incorrect grammar? Sometimes. The language is constantly changing. And so we have what's called slang. We also have reductions and contractions. And sometimes we form new ones and we do things where we break the rules of pronunciation or we break grammatical rules. Here's a really good one. Last night I was watching Hawkeye And Hawkeye walked into someone's apartment and he said, "Is there cats in here?" Because I think he's allergic to cats. He said, "Is there cats in here?" I have to go back and check this. He should have said, "Are there cats in here?" But he said, "Is there cats in here?" So I got to double check that. But we do that sometimes. We'll say, you know, instead of, "Are there a lot of people there?" We'll say, "Is there a lot of people there?" Instead of, "There were a lot of cars," or there are a lot of cars in the parking lot, we say, "There's a lot of cars in the parking lot," which is actually a contraction of "there is." So yes, definitely. We break the rules sometimes, but we break them in a way where I think we're actually making a new informal rule. Hopefully that makes sense. Hey, everybody. Thank you to the 434 people who hung out for a little bit of English. If you're new here, remember to click that red subscribe button. Thanks to Brent from American English for hanging out here. Brent is saying, "I have a trip to Sweden coming up in about a month. I hope it isn't canceled." I hope it isn't as well, Brent. Jen and I actually have a trip in a few months as well. Towards the spring, we just want to go to Toronto, but hopefully that doesn't get canceled either. We'll see. Anyways, bye to Brent from American English. Bye to Paco-san, Melody, Julia, Maria C, Cecilia, Mode Eggs. Bye to Dave and Todd. Thanks, guys, for helping out with the chat again. Bye to Lolly Lolly, Bernadette, see you. Unsel, Steve, Freddie Wolf, Julia Olis, Cecilia, Maria C is around somewhere probably, Judith, Ario, Eduardo, Audie the Thai, and so many more people. Thank you so much for hanging out. Hopefully this helped a little bit. Remember, if there were parts of this that you didn't understand, if you wait a day and listen to that part again, there might even be English subtitles that you can turn on. So if there was a part you didn't understand, watch it again in a few days. And do remember that this lesson on color, this lesson over here, not this one, this lesson over here, will come out in a shorter version in about 12 hours with good English subtitles that you can turn on if you need them. Anyways, thanks for watching. Have a good Saturday. Have a good weekend. And take a break from whatever you do. And have a nap or go for a walk or do something fun. Hi, Bob the Canadian here. Thank you for listening to this English podcast lesson. If you would like to support me in the work that I do as an online English teacher, please visit patreon.com/BobTheCanadian.